Today is June 11th, 2014, and this is episode number 258 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin. I've got nothing.
You've got nothing.
I've got nothing. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
I've Got Nothing has a very special place in my heart now because of you.
Oh, apricot.
That's right, apricot. I've got nothing. There's a handful of people right now that are going, oh my God, yes. And everyone else is like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
We'll stick a note in the, we'll stick a link in the show notes and we'll let you figure out which one it is.
You know, that's fair enough. Think of it like an Easter egg or a hunt. It's an adventure. It is. Guys, we're taking you on an adventure.
Exactly. Because we love you.
Yeah, and if we're going to go on an adventure, there's no one else we'd rather have with us.
That's right. You know, speaking of having uninvited guests with us,
are the interns back?
No, I was thinking more about some Google news.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was actually a really good segue, and I totally ruined it by bringing up the intern. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. That's, you know, they need their moment.
Yeah. All right, the Google thing. So Google is buying a company, a satellite company, that's called Sky. I keep wanting to say Skynet. That's so funny.
LOL. Right?
Yeah, I know.
LOL Terminator.
Yeah. Anyhow, so it's Skyhook. No, it's not Skyhook. It's Skybox. Wow.
Yeah, I could have stepped in at any time.
I know you could have.
But I was waiting to see where you were going to take that.
Well, eventually I took it to the right name. That's and good. And I'm okay with the fact that you just stood by and watched me flounder through that, because I would have done the same for you.
But I love your image.
Thank you.
For this particular story and the way you use the image in the title, so robot overlord status. It's funny stuff.
Thank you. And when I put that image together, I put it together hoping that you would enjoy it.
For me? You shouldn't have.
Yeah, I love it when excuse me, when our readers get a kick out of the graphics that I make. But this one, I really did have you in mind.
That's funny. All right, so Google bought a satellite, or has announced its plans, because it does have to go through its regulatory approval. And not only from a trade standpoint, but in this case, probably a national security standpoint.
Sure. Which is kind of funny when you think about it.
Yeah. So they bought the Skybox for only $500 million. By the way, how is it that a company that can take satellite images with a meter resolution, with a 1 meter resolution, is only worth $500 million.
And they have multiple satellites in orbit.
Yeah, it seems like each one of those satellites would have cost a couple $100 million to stick up in the air.
Yeah, you would think. And then once they're in orbit and functioning, their value goes up because they're in orbit and functioning. So
yeah.
So Google is buying a company that has multiple satellites in orbit that can do ground-based imaging down to 1 meter resolution, and they get the whole company plus the working satellites for $500 million.
Yeah, that just seems really, really cheap. So clearly there is something I don't understand. Right, these prices don't come out of a void. And right. If Google is buying the company for $500 million, it's probably worth roughly $500 million. But that just seems cheap to me, and I don't understand. I don't understand why. It seems like the more time goes by, that companies like this should be worth more money, not less money.
Right. Well, for all we know, this is actually more than the company was worth last year.
That's a fair point. But again, you know, I mean, like, are the satellites broken? Is Larry Page going to get one of his self-driving cars and drive up and fix them?
I was thinking that maybe he's developed his own Iron Man armor. And he's gonna fly.
Yeah.
But I could totally see him getting in his car and saying, "Hey, Google, drive me to orbit."
Yeah, satellite 4.
And then his car takes off like the Jetsons, does that whole thing, and
that was good.
Thank you.
That was much better than mine.
Yeah, well, you can bring Balmer to the studio, and I'll fly our space car.
Yeah, no, don't start bringing me into this. that was like my worst Balmer ever. All right, so Cobalt Skybox, and obviously this is a deal intended to increase the value or just even make it more convenient for Google to do satellite mapping for Google Maps.
Sure. Yeah, clearly that's what they have in mind with this, which puts Google in a really strong competitive place compared to other companies doing the same thing, say like Apple.
Yes, because Apple will, of course, have to buy their satellite imagery from other companies, possibly even Google now.
Yeah, possibly even Google now. That's true.
I honestly don't know enough about this industry to know how much competition there is. I don't think the Skybox was the only competitor, though.
No, there are multiple companies that are doing the imaging. So, yeah, and... But I believe most of the companies are going to the same places to buy their images.
So are they going to Skybox?
So Skybox would be one of the companies they've all been using.
Interesting. Now, this doesn't bother me. You know, our listeners have heard us both rant about Google, and, you know, it's... business model of selling us to marketers. I don't think this really has much of anything to do with that. You know, with resolution down to a meter, Google's not going to be using Skybox to do facial recognition and track us as individuals across the planet.
Although they could send out their field teams, trank and radio tag us, and then release us back into the wild.
That's true, and use the satellites to track our tags. Yeah,
yeah, and then later on there'll be documentaries on TV about following the great human migrations from my place in Boulder over to the coffee shop and back.
The Jeff Gimmett, in his natural environment, can't normally eat or drink anything that has any lactose in it, or he becomes absolutely toxic. So let's watch him now as he goes into the coffee shop and see what he orders.
Now, the show is going to be brilliant. And every day it'll be like, oh, bought an iced soy chai.
Yeah, he ordered an iced soy chai. We can see that. But watch right now. Oh, look, he almost grabs the iced latte instead. That could have been a complete disaster for him. But he fixed it.
Occasional comments about probably trying to speculate on mating rituals as I flirt with a barista.
No doubt. So, yeah, I'm not really worried about Google owning this. This is definitely about maps. It's not about...
About tracking us.
This isn't about tracking us or anything like that. This is about making maps the best... Google Maps, the best mapping service on the planet, and, you know, being able to just be that much more competitive with Apple. You know, if anything, this probably shows that Google is... Boy, I hadn't thought about this. This is completely off the top of my head. This purchase shows that Google is taking Apple Maps as a serious competitor.
Huh. I hadn't thought of that until you said that. But I can see that. I can see where that could be totally right.
Apple has been doing a lot of things lately. With, you know, it bought SpotSitter. We talked about that on the TMO's Daily Observations podcast. Was that this week or last week? I believe it was this week. Yeah. Apple bought Spot Setter, which is this socially sourced recommendations. It's a way of finding restaurants and clubs and you know coffee shops and a bunch of other kinds of businesses based upon the recommendations of people within your social network. That's just one of the ways that Apple has been working hard to improve maps and differentiate it from Google Maps. Google was pretty dismissive of Apple's ability to be competitive in the map space at first. You know,
this happens a lot, like with media players, with phones. Yeah. Where the competition says, oh, Apple can't compete in this space. And then they get their asses handed to them.
It's true. And we had Eric Schmidt saying that, you know, Maps is hard and Apple should have stuck with us and all that sort of stuff. But I would say that Google making even a $500 million investment in this area shows that they take Apple seriously enough to want to do their own thing to become more competitive. You know, I would be shocked if Apple were to buy its own satellite mapping company. That's not the kind of thing that Apple's going to do.
No. Although now I have this image in my head of Apple designing their own iSat system.
Yeah.
And launching their own satellites in orbit. And they'd be the most beautiful satellites you ever saw.
It's true. Yeah. So it's an interesting move on Google's part. It's in the long run, it's going to make the mapping services that we've all come to depend on. You know, so funny. It was, I don't know what, 10 years ago when we were still pulling out the street maps, right? You had an expensive.
I had a Chilton's Guide. Or no, those are for repairing your cars. What were the ones for the city maps?
I don't know. Frommer's?
No, it was something else. I remember it had a red cover, spiral bound. And like every 3 years, I'd have to buy a new one because there's so much growth happening around Denver.
Right. If you were lucky, you'd spend $1,000 on an in-car GPS that was seemingly magical, but, you know, pretty awful in comparison.
Yeah, and it had a box of CDs in your trunk, and every year you'd have to spend a fortune buying a new set of CDs.
Yep. So, you know, this will be a good thing for us. This is just yet another little thing that's going to keep Google and Apple and any other would-be competitor pushing forward.
I agree. I'm all up for good, healthy competition. And I see this as a very competitive move on Google's part. And good luck, other companies trying to compete.
In this one particular area.
Yes, in this area.
I mean, of course, you know, there are lots of other companies. Microsoft could buy, could spend a couple billion on a satellite company without blinking. Obviously, Apple could do the same thing. If all of the major competitors to Google Maps thought they could benefit from owning their own satellite imaging company, they could also step into the game if that's what they want to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not like the companies that are playing in this market can't afford to do what Google has done.
Right.
I don't think they'll get as sweet a deal as Google did.
Well, we don't know if it's a sweet deal, though. We don't know enough about this industry.
That's true. Yeah. For all we know, a satellite company that's on par with Skybox is worth $350 million, not $500 million.
That's true. Man, we just don't know. We just don't know.
But that won't stop us from just saying what we think.
That's true, because that's how we roll. Speaking of rolling, let's roll over to Ireland. You're gobsmacked. you're gobsmacked at that miserable, miserable segue. But we do have news coming out of the European Union.
Yes,
yesterday and today. Yesterday was the rumor that the EU's European Commission, which is a regulatory body within the European Union, that they were going to launch a probe looking at the tax deals Ireland has with a bunch of multinationals, most particularly Apple. And today, that probe officially was launched.
Yes, and it's important for people to understand that what we are looking at here isn't a case of the EU investigating Apple, Google, and several other companies for their tax practices. This is the EU looking into the way Ireland handles its tax laws.
Right. And Apple being the sexy target, we've seen lots of coverage of this with aimed at the idea that the EU is investigating Apple or targeting Apple, and that's just a little bit of sloppiness, and you won't get that here. But what they're really looking into is Ireland's tax. We should probably just explain. Let's explain this.
Okay, so Ireland has tax laws that are written in such a way to be very attractive to big companies. So companies can come in, set up business in Ireland, and the amount of tax that they pay is substantially lower than other countries throughout Europe. And so it allows companies like Apple to come in and save a ton of money because they're not having to hand over as much cash to governments. And other countries are pissed off about this because they feel that they can't draw in these big players because they're not offering the same tax incentives that Ireland is.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Yeah, pretty poor.
Really?
I think we can do better.
All right, you try.
All right, so Ireland has tax laws that allow companies to set up essentially as stateless entities.
Oh, so you just want to put more details in than I did. Correct. I didn't want to worry our listeners' sweet little heads.
Oh,
but go ahead. Add in your details.
So what companies learned decades ago, this has been going on for a very, very long time, although Apple has always been at the forefront of this particular effort, is that they could use Ireland's tax laws to set up subsidiary companies, license IP to that subsidiary company, and then have that subsidiary company turn around and do all the sales, say, in Europe. And by doing so, they didn't have to report the profits from that business in any tax authority, to any tax authority, in any tax jurisdiction. That's the word I'm looking for. And this has become very, very standard practice for large multinationals everywhere. Now, Ireland...
And this is totally legal. This is not tax evasion.
It's technically tax avoidance because Apple and these other companies are using this setup to avoid paying taxes in other jurisdictions, but it's entirely legal. And what Ireland benefits from this is they get lots of jobs. Not even lots of jobs. They get a bunch of jobs, but I don't know about lots. Anyway, they get hundreds, maybe thousands of jobs, most of which are relatively high-paying, that are located within Ireland. And what the companies get from it is the ability to I think Apple paid something like, according to Reuters, 3.7% taxes total on its international sales, its international profits.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
That's a pretty sweet deal. Compared that to, I think in the U.S., Apple's tax burden was at 26%. And there's obviously a huge difference there. And we'll come back to that. what's the problem with all this is that all of these companies, including Apple, aren't paying into the local, aren't paying anywhere near their fair share of local taxes based on the profits that they're making in those local jurisdictions.
So we have a problem here, which is how do you address that? Do you force Ireland to change its tax laws and lose their business advantage? Or do you tell other countries, look, if you want to draw in companies, you need to find ways to be competitive, just like Ireland did?
Right, which, of course, is just going to permanently cheat themselves out of money, which, you know, in the U.S., we see this all the time in the U.S. We see state governments, county governments, and municipalities constantly giving some of the richest corporations on the planet, planet singular.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Yeah, sorry about that. Giving some of the richest companies on the planet tax deals, to tax breaks to open up manufacturing or support centers or whatever in their jurisdiction. And they do this because they want to have these high-paying jobs, because these people who are getting the high-paying jobs will spend some of that money locally, and they basically hope to make up the loss in volume.
Which, in a manner of speaking, that's what Ireland's doing. They have attracted these jobs by offering really nice tax incentives.
Right, but what happens is that you know, all these companies are able to play one regional government against another, and they're able to say, well, you know, Austin's going to give us this, you know, Phoenix, what are you going to do about it? You want to beat them? Because, you know, if you want to beat them, we might consider opening up our plant here. And then when Phoenix turns around and goes, yeah, we'll beat them, and then they'll go back to Austin. It's like, you know, Phoenix really stepped up to the plate here. And this is fine. This is the way business works.
Sure.
This is a company trying to negotiate the best deal that it can. But the problem is, and we've seen this, we're seeing this all the time. We're seeing this in Manor, which is where a city right outside of Austin that gave a big sweetheart deal to Samsung to open up a large manufacturing plant, a plant that was making stuff for Apple. This is one of their chip plants. And their schools, you know, they had all these students moving into the area that were the children of workers for this chip plant, and they didn't have enough tax revenue to be able to properly
to educate them.
To educate them. How does this benefit anyone? And the answer that it is does not benefit anyone.
Yeah, and so here's part of the problem, because you get these governments at local or regional levels that think the issue through only part way. And so they look at, "Oh, we can draw in all these new jobs. Let's do that." But then they don't think about what happens when your population increases dramatically and all of the other support services that go along with that. And
yeah, your fires, yeah, your schools, your roads, your police, your water in some cases, your local utilities. I mean, just libraries, public hospitals. You know, these things all operate off of local tax dollars. And at best, what you have here is a situation where large companies get advantages that small companies don't have the power to negotiate. And at worst, what you get is cities and regional governments not able to properly support the companies that they're bringing in the first place. Who wins? The shareholders win. That's the only people that win. Shareholders get to make more profits. And I think this is dangerous. I don't like it in states. I don't like to see it in non-U.S. countries either, because, you know, it turns out that when Apple is selling an iMac at an Apple store in Istanbul, there, you know, that couldn't happen without Istanbul roads and utilities and you know, libraries for people to have been able to learn in the first place, and on and on. These local resources are necessary to sustain companies like Apple, like Google, like Facebook, like all of them.
And it takes money to make these things happen.
And I don't. It's. I wrote a piece. I don't know. I think it was last year sometime, saying that Apple needed to do the right thing. This isn't about like Apple in particular needs to do the right thing. Apple needs to, instead of negotiating sweetheart deals because it can get them, Apple needs to actually pony up to the table and pay their local tax bases. I think this is important. And I think this is important not only in the U.S., I think this is important outside the U.S. As well. And I think it's important for all the U.S. multinationals to do this sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, Tim Cook said at one point, and I'm paraphrasing here, we're paying everything that we are required to by law. If you don't like that, change the laws.
Yeah, he said that to a Senate committee, a Senate witch hunt, actually, that was accusing Apple of tax avoidance, at least, maybe even like the implication of tax evasion. I don't think they ever actually expressly accused Apple of that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But and what they were talking about is all of the money that Apple earns overseas and doesn't bring back to the States. And the reason why Apple doesn't bring that money back to the States is because if they did, they'd have to pay 35% in taxes on it.
And it would actually be fiscally irresponsible to bring that money into the United States.
Yeah, the way multinational corporations have evolved, it would in fact be irresponsible for any corporation to bring that money back into the States. And, you know, then you've got basically Apple has one of the highest tax rates for corporations on the planet. And again, that's in part because countries have been trying to one up each other in lowering these tax burdens. And again, I think that I think you can make a fantastic case for saying that can be taken too far. The U.S. has not taken that too far yet. At 35%, the U.S. is definitely one of the highest in the world. If the U.S. were to lower that, I think that companies like Apple would have much more incentive to bring those foreign profits back and put them to work here in the States.
Now, I wonder how many countries are really glad that the United States has the international tax laws that they do, because it incentivizes Apple to leave their money in these other countries
and to do more development in those countries. You know, Apple can build a plant in Taiwan or China or Brazil. Well, Brazil has its own special thing. Crazy tax laws, but you know,
yeah, I've seen the movie about that country. It's a weird place.
Apple can much more easily build out infrastructure on other planets. Good Lord, I keep doing that in other countries because
are you ready to fly around the verse?
I am actually. That's the problem, because they do have all this money that's overseas, and so that does work to the benefit of other countries. And here in the States, Apple makes plenty of profits in and of itself. They have lots of money here in the States, but they've been recently returning a lot of that money to shareholders. And all the money that's returned to you as shareholders has to be money that was here in the States in the first place. So, you know, Apple has found it necessary to tap the bond markets for giant loans, because they can pay a much smaller interest rate on those loans than they would pay in taxes if they brought that money back.
And that's just kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. But, you know, even if the U.S. were to lower its corporate tax rate to 20%, it would still be cheaper to borrow the money. You know,
that's a really good point. Yeah.
So what Tim Cook said to the senators was that we pay everything that we legally owe, which is absolutely true. And they said, if you don't like the way, you know, we obey the law. So if you don't like the results, change the law. That was what he said. But that's really dealing a lot more about money from overseas. But, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that Apple does doesn't try to shelter U.S. profits. Apple is not, although you, some, especially Apple haters, will say this, and it's incorrect. Apple is not moving money out of the U.S. through shell companies in order to hide U.S. profits. Like I said, their tax rate that they pay inside the U.S. is roughly 26%.
Yeah, and they're just not bringing international revenue into the United States.
Right, and Apple is one of the top U.S. taxpayers, if not the top U.S. taxpayer, both at a state and national level. And yet, Apple does do all of this shifting overseas to minimize its tax burden there. I think that that's short-sighted. I think it's short-sighted. I think it's bad for the world. I think it's bad for Apple, ultimately. And it's certainly bad for we, the consumers.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, though, that Apple's not going to change what they're doing, nor will other companies that are doing the same thing, unless the laws change.
Right. And that brings us back to Ireland, with the EEC, the European Commission, looking into these sweetheart deals. Well, apparently one of the things that they're investigating is whether or not Ireland effectively has sweetheart secret deals that aren't open to any other companies. Apple and the other companies have denied that that's the case. My guess is they're going to find that that's not the case, and that this entire probe is going to be either about chest thumping or about fine. We'll look at it. Oh, look at that. We didn't find anything. We told you we wouldn't find anything there. Now shut up about it. That's to their other member countries who are pissed off about losing all these tax revenues.
Right. And the end result is the same either way, which is nothing changes.
Yes. Right. And I don't see how anything can change. Because, you know, I wrote in yesterday's piece that if Ireland were to change its tax laws, some other country would step up to the plate.
Oh, of course.
Which is, again, as we were saying earlier, that's what happens in the U.S. with local and regional governments. Same thing. If Austin wasn't doing it, Phoenix would. And if Phoenix wasn't doing it, Portland would. And if Portland wasn't doing it,
maybe Denver would.
Yeah, Denver would, or someplace in Kansas, or someplace in Virginia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Apple has the giant data center in Maiden, North Carolina, because it got big tax breaks. Apple got tax breaks out of Oregon. Apple got tax breaks out of Utah. Apple got tax breaks out of Austin and Manor. And Apple got tax breaks from Arizona,
in
too.
Cupertino. That's why they're building the new Flying Saucer campus where they are. They were able to get tax breaks for that.
Yeah, there were...
it's different, but nonetheless...
And the tax breaks are smaller.
But they still were able to swing some tax breaks.
Yeah, because Cupertino, of course, wants that campus. They want that prestige.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, I think that... Well, I don't know. Maybe not. My gut tells me that that Apple would have paid whatever they had to pay to stay there. I think that they liked being in Cupertino, but who knows? Steve Jobs was as mercenary as they come.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, I don't know. So it's definitely a complex issue. We know that not everybody is going to agree with us. We know that some of the people who are listening believe that no taxes are good ever under any circumstance whatsoever, and I think that that is a delusional position, just to be frank. But I know that not everyone's going to agree with us on this. But this is something I hope can stop someday.
I agree, and it goes back to what I keep saying: laws have to change, and until they do, then this cycle will just continue.
Right. But, well, you know, I guess we didn't mention this. I mean, so with this Ireland situation in the European Union, what laws could change? The only country that could change its laws in a way that would affect any of this would be Ireland.
And they have no incentive to do so.
They have no incentive to do so. They have zero incentive to do so. There's nothing Denmark can do about Ireland's tax laws. There's really nothing that the EU can do. unless Ireland is in violation of some aspect of the EU Charter, to wit, quoting... So here's this from a Bloomberg article that that I'm going to work on after the show. Quote, special secret deals should be outlawed, or should be outlawed across the EU. All tax breaks and relief should be openly available for qualifying business. The implication, or the word that I can't think of, is that there is a secret deal in place, but the parties... The parties involved say that there are no secret deals.
Right. And also, don't forget the rules of Fight Club. Right. I'm saying that facetiously. I'd be surprised with the ramifications of lying about that if someone was covering up something.
Right. So what Apple's statement was that Apple, quote, this is a quote, Apple pays every euro of every tax that we owe. We have received no selective treatment from Irish officials. Apple is subject to the same tax laws as scores of other international companies doing business in Ireland. Of course, you know, scores as opposed to all. But, you know, this kind of goes back to this reality that Apple is obeying the law, and Apple has a fiduciary responsibility to its shareholders here in the U.S. at least, to minimize its tax burden wherever and however it can, as long as it's legal to do so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so definitely a complex issue, for sure. For sure. I like roads. I like good roads without potholes.
I'm totally with you. I'm all about good roads. I'm all about knowing that if my place or any place around me catches on fire, that there's qualified, competent experts that can come put that fire out quickly.
Yep. If I get mugged or someone breaks into my house, there are again qualified experts who can, at the very least, investigate it, if not having prevented it in the first place. Mm-hmm. I like knowing that there are parties whose job it is to test local water quality. I love being able to drink water out of the tap.
That's a big plus. Also,
that takes money.
Knowing that when I go to the grocery store and buy a piece of meat, that it's not going to poison me.
Yeah. You know, and all this nonsense in the U.S. about corporations being people, which is, I think, one of the most dangerous and destructive things that we've ever allowed to happen to ourselves, ever. It's fascinating that corporations, that there are some folks who think that corporations should be able to pay even no taxes. But
yet, I think that's just crazy.
There's this complete disconnect between. There's this complete disconnect, a disconnect in some people on these issues, and the reality is that whether or not corporations are people, corporations exist in an area and benefit from the area's infrastructure, and they need to contribute to that, and that includes Apple.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we may love products that Apple makes, but that doesn't mean that we think that they should get special treatment.
Yeah, and let's keep things honest here. You got companies like GE that haven't paid taxes in years because they do actively shelter U.S. profits in overseas banks and overseas shelters, to tax shelters. And, you know, Apple is paying a lot of money in the United States, a lot of money in taxes. I don't want to, you know, and I guess I'm saying this because something crossed my desk late last night about a bunch of worker advocacy groups that are taking Apple to task over working conditions in China, and which... I'm okay. What am I trying to say here? There is an ongoing issue in all factories that are outside the U.S. that have less strict laws and less strict regulations over working conditions in the environment, et cetera. But what I am sick to death of is companies talking as if Apple hasn't done anything when Apple is doing more than every other company that is manufacturing out there.
Well, right,
and they
now,
don't get any credit for that, and that drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I can see why Apple is getting singled out. It's because they are high profile, and if you target Apple with your with whatever your campaign is, then you're much more likely
absolutely
to get publicity out of that.
Absolutely, but I would rather it be honest. I'd rather it be something along the lines of Apple has already done a lot, but there's more Apple can do. That to me is that's a very valid line to take. There are still chemicals.
Yeah, but it doesn't make for a sexy headline.
Exactly. It doesn't. And I don't care for that. I want to keep that line here on this taxation issue too, because Apple does pay a lot in taxes. There are probably all kinds of things that Apple could do to shelter U.S. profits.
Oh, sure.
And it doesn't seem like
Apple's we've already established there are other companies doing that. Therefore, it's totally possible for Apple to do the same. They're just claiming that they aren't.
Right. Right. Speaking of Apple and U.S. Yes. regulators, we have yes. A report from so there was a meeting between Apple and the FDA back in December.
I just want to point out that you were totally rolling into an awesome segue.
By awesome, you mean terrible?
No, I think it was going to be really good. I think this one was going to be awesome. And then at the last minute, I think you choked.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
But that's okay, because I didn't even bother to try and do a segue.
So Apple met with the FDA back in December. And the Apple Toolbox used a Freedom of Information request, Freedom of Information Act request, to learn more about that meeting. And we talked about that also on the Daily Observation podcast. Mm-hmm. But the thing that we didn't really focus on, and the thing that I think is worth pointing out, is that it is inescapable to me at this point that the so-called iWatch is going to have a very health and fitness centered focus.
I think at this point, if anyone is thinking that Apple is creating, for lack of a better term, a Pebble clone.
Mm-hmm. Or the Galaxy Gear clone.
Oh, that just hurts. If that's where people think Apple is going, then they're just simply not following the breadcrumbs that are not only being dropped but poured all over the ground.
Yeah, absolutely poured. We just have so much information now. We have so much information that Apple is ready to disrupt the med tech business, maybe even medicine itself, by making it just completely changing the way that we monitor ourselves and communicate that information with the medical industry.
Yes, and not just communicating with the medical industry, but being able to take all that data we're collecting and use it in a meaningful way on a personal level. And right now we can collect all kinds of data about ourselves, because we can get our step trackers and our sleep trackers and our heart rate monitors and just all these different devices. But they're all collecting data in their own little bubble. And there are ways to get that information to kind of cross over, but it's not as elegant as what Apple's going to offer us.
With HealthKit.
With HealthKit, yes.
Yeah. And because what HealthKit's going to do, HealthKit is a repository within iOS for data from disparate sources, be it from an app that's using the sensors on your iPhone, or be it a separate device like a Fitbit or the iWatch that's reporting to an app on your iPhone. And it acts as a central repository and gives you control over what kind of data and that you're sharing with your doctor.
Right.
And I think, by the way, that I forget who saw it. God, I wish I could remember this. Do you remember that photograph we saw with Tim Cook? Might have been related to the Beats acquisition, and he had something around his wrist. Not the one where everyone was fit.
Okay.
But he had something around his wrist.
I think the photo you're thinking of is from the Beats purchase announcement, and it's Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre, Tim Cook, and Eddie Q all standing on the walkway above the main atrium at Apple's.
Now that
main
campus. that's the one.
And where Tim has his hand over his wrist.
Well, there was that one, and that one, what we noticed was that Eddie Q was looking great. We talked about that.
Yes. You know,
Eddie Q has, in the last year or so, gone from being a little bit frumpy looking, a little bit dumpy looking, to being relatively fit looking. And no, this is another picture where they were sitting down on chairs. And
oh, that's older. That's from an All Things D conference. And Tim is talking, I think, with Katie Swisher. And he has a Nike Fuel Band on his wrist. You can see it out above his cuff.
Yeah, no, I remember that one. This is definitely something more recent.
Man, you're really testing my memory of Tim Cook photos.
Yeah, well, and I could be conflating. That's the problem. I don't remember what it is, so I don't want to stand up too loud on this. But I think he was wearing a test device for Apple, and you know Tim is also looking fit and buff, and I think this is all about, I don't know. Here's my secret. I know that what I'm doing to a certain extent is projecting my own desires for some sort of magical device that's going to help me become more fit.
You know, there's nothing wrong with having that hope for that magical device. And there's a lot of people out there that will misinterpret what you mean by that. And they will think that what you're asking for is a piece of magic that improves your physical fitness level, as opposed to a device that empowers you so that you can achieve the level of physical fitness that you want.
Correct.
The latter being something that I have achieved with Fitbit.
Correct.
And I'm totally looking forward to seeing what Apple does, because I'm curious if they will release something that that replaces my Fitbit completely.
Right. And I suspect that the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, at a minimum, it will be an incredible supplement. But I'm assuming that Fitbit is going to sign on with HealthKit support, which means that I could have a Fitbit and an iWatch and collect gobs of data about myself and look at it through a unified interface.
Correct.
That would be cool.
It will, in fact, be cool. And to the point you're making about me, I'm not looking for the magic pill. I'm actually looking for the magic thing that allows me to shift my perspective by giving me all the information that I need to affect change in my life. And so I know that I'm projecting part of that onto the iWatch, but I just think we have too much evidence that this is what Apple is looking to do, that Apple is looking to disrupt the way we monitor ourselves. And there was the statement that came out of these FDA notes that Apple Toolbox got, where Apple told the FDA that they look at mobile. This is almost a word for word quote. I think it actually is a word for word quote. Apple looks at mobile technology platforms as an opportunity for users to learn more about themselves.
And I found that fascinating, because that's like we talked about on Timo Daily Observations, this is about Apple looking at giving us tools that we can use for ourselves, as opposed to turning us into tools that they can use for profit.
Yeah. Well, they're going to profit by giving us those tools, for sure.
Oh, yes, yes.
But Google, Facebook, probably Twitter, probably Yahoo, probably everybody, Microsoft, you know, most every other company out there looks at mobile technology as a way to learn more about us so that they can exploit that information and sell it for a profit.
Yes, and Apple isn't looking to exploit us other than consumers that are buying their products.
Yeah, but Apple is looking to exploit the opportunity by providing products that meet a need, as opposed to looking for ways to learn more about us so that they can sell it to the highest bidder. And and if there was ever a statement, if there was ever some sort of encapsulating statement that showed the difference between Apple and all of the companies, it's that one. They look at mobile technology platforms as an opportunity for users to learn more about themselves. And I think this is all about the iWatch, and I think this is all about HealthKit. And I think that all these medical hires that we've seen Apple make, that all of these sensor experts that we've seen Apple hire, all of the investments in sensor technology that Apple's made, I think that all of that is about the iWatch, and that Apple is going to disrupt the medical industry in some fashion with this product.
I think you're right, and I'm actually really excited to see this come out.
So am I. And don't forget that the week before we didn't pay much attention to it because, you know, LOL Samsung. But Samsung announced their, I think they call it the voice of your body, or I don't know, some just awful name that they were trying to preempt Apple's announcement of HealthKit by holding an event the week before, and that's gonna end up being a joke like every other thing that Samsung does.
I fear you're right. What I would like would be to see healthy competition in that space. The reality is Samsung isn't in a position to give us healthy competition or to give Apple healthy competition. And until Apple actually shows off what it is that they're going to sell us, none of these companies are in a place where they can begin to conceive what they need to do to compete.
Yeah, and you know, Samsung is a severe disadvantage against Apple in this case, because they don't control the hardware and the software. Not even with Tizen do they control the hardware and the software. You know, right. Apple is in a position to better control the integrity of the data in HealthKit, much more so than any other company possibly could be.
Right. Yeah, they're designing the hardware at the chip level, and they're designing the software that ties into those chips. There are very few companies that are in that position.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know. LOL Samsung, good luck with that. And you better hope that you can steal Apple's ideas like you've stole every other idea that you got. So, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You get on with your badass self there, Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that we have come to the end of the show.
I think we have. And I think that was the best segue of the show so far.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but it's also promising because if we can get one good segue, maybe someday we can get another.
Maybe.
And yeah. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at ACM at MacObserver.com. Thanks for listening. Feel free to follow me on Twitter or app.net. I'm Jay Gamut, both places.
And you can follow me on Twitter at TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed and hop on over to the iTunes store and rate our show for us so that we can have positive feedback and digital hugs from you.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.